Praise God. Isn't God good? Let's give God some praise and magnify Him. We give you praise, oh God. We magnify, we bless your name, we worship you, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. Wonderful children's choir. And love the presentation to Sister Bonnie. And I'm looking across the congregation here, and I'm seeing a lot of grown young people that were in those children's choirs. And now they're all shot throughout the church family and leadership and families of their own. And it's just amazing how the time flies. But Sister Bonnie, you've had such great impact and such investment in our children. And we really do salute you and celebrate you, and we praise God for you. And Amber, you're an angel. You are just a remarkable, remarkable person. All she's done over the last half decade is oversee the construction of an orphanage, become proficient in childcare issues by the Hague Standard, which is the European or the United Nations, the European Economic Group's standards for childcare and all sorts of specific areas of information like trauma to children, social trauma and physical trauma. And she's done all that in Spanish, I think, for the most part, and has been involved in teaching those things. And while she's at it, she's gotten her master's while she's down there. She's not just an angel, she's an incredible angel. And now the first house is full of children. And they're running a pilot there, more or less. And before it's over, though, that whole campus is going to be... Just settle down. Don't let your blood pressure rise. The whole campus is going to be full of children and full of staff. And Amber is a part of something that is going to transform a generation in a nation. It's incredible what God's doing in her. She's being incredibly used of God. So we praise God for all the good work there. You want to remember to pray for her, and you want to remember monthly support for her. You want to partner up with her. If it's just a little something every month, go ahead and do it, because you're partnering with something that is great and with a great young lady, and she's doing a wonderful work in the kingdom of God. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. So this is our last Sunday night before Christmas, and next Sunday we'll have morning service for whosoever will, and you're going to be all involved with family things and traveling and all. Be in prayer for your church family as they travel and as they engage in these family gatherings and all, that they prosper, that they have a wonderful time of fellowship, and that their light is impactful and effective with their families and all of those that they interact with. Praise God. It's a wonderful time of year. People tend to believe a little more in this time of year, and they are more susceptible to the idea of redemption and that God might possibly be able to make a difference in their lives. So be on the lookout and be used of God. We're going to read tonight Revelation 22. Appreciate all the good music and the singing and the wonderful ministry all around, all day long. Don't you love our Sunday school teachers that take care of our children and our bus teams, and everybody's doing such a great job. Revelation 22 and 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then the 20th verse. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And then the refrain is from John, or from the church. Even so, come quickly, or come, Lord Jesus. If you love his word as you're seated tonight, let's give God praise and thanks, and let's magnify his name. God, we thank you for your word that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you for the privilege of handling your word in this house. And we pray your hand of blessing on every household, every family. Let the word do its work in every heart in this house tonight. And we pray it all in the name above every name, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Praise God. So we have two verses here. We're almost done with the book of Revelation. And so we're apparently going to finish before the Lord comes. But tonight we're looking at these two verses. And these two verses have often been mistakenly conflated. The first verse in verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Everyone say, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. So now the word of God that is available to the reader or the hearer of this is invited to come into this circle with the Spirit and the bride, which is the church, and to say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. Those are that are outside the circle, those that are still spiritually hungry and thirsty and in need, let them come. And whosoever will. So it doesn't matter. The call of God is for anybody and everybody. Anybody can come and live for God. There is no prohibition. There is no standard. There is no construct of society or culture of traditional church or anything else that really matters, because the Lord says you can come. So it doesn't matter if you feel like an outsider, or if you feel like you've fallen too far, or if you feel like you're out of reach or out of touch. None of that matters. What matters is that God says you can come, and the Spirit says come, and the bride says come, and all those that hear the word of God, they say come, and let those that are thirsty come, and let those who will, let them take of the waters of life freely. That second passage in the 20th verse, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. This is the first person. This is the Lord Jesus saying, I come quickly. Amen. And then the refrain, the answer from the church is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. These things sometimes are thought of in the same vein, because some of the language is common to these two verses. But one is the call, the end time, if you would, call of the church to the world, come. To the sinner, come. To those that are in need or thirsty or hungry for God, come. And the other is the Lord himself saying, I'm coming quickly. And the church to God says, come. Now, part of your prayer may well be, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And that's not a bad prayer, but sometimes these things are already baked into the cake, and the prophecy is already set in motion. And so there is a day, just like the flood of Noah, a day and an hour. There is a specific time when God is coming, and there's not a thing in the world you can do about that. You can express your desire that you'd like to see him sooner rather than later. But that's another discussion altogether. That 17th verse is where we want to focus tonight. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is the kingdom of God. It's invitation to the world to come to God, to come into the kingdom. And let him that heareth say, come. If you can hear the word of God, Jesus often said, let him that hath an ear, let him hear. It means those that are actively and with interest hearing the word of God. If you are hearing the word of God tonight, then your refrain needs to be, come. And let him that is athirst come. Come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The Spirit and the bride are together. The Holy Ghost and God's church are together, and they are saying something to the world in the end time. And they're not saying, you're going to get yours. And they're not saying, well, you've been living like the devil, now the devil's coming to get you. And they're not saying, well, the end is near and we're going to heaven and you're going to toast in hell forever. They're not saying that. They're saying the time's winding down. Come. This is the day. Come. The Lord's coming soon. You need to come. The church is saying, come. Whatever you do, come. Whatever it takes, come. However you have to make it happen, just come on in to the church of the living God. I don't know how it's going to work out, and I don't know what your difficulties are, but come on and let God handle the details. Don't worry about all the details. Don't get bogged down in the details. Let God handle those things. You just come. Is there a testimony in the house that I didn't know how it would be, but I just kept coming and God made it happen? Is there a testimony in the house that can say, I didn't understand how I would break free and how I would live for God, but I came and God made it happen. Let's clap our hands unto him and let's bless him. Hallelujah. We are in the end time. I went through some prophecy this morning. Can't recreate it tonight, but all you have to do is listen to the current events around you and then match it with the word of God. Israel is in the land. Ezekiel 38 is arrayed in the Middle East. Russia's doing business in the Middle East, doing business with ancient Persia, which is Iran. All of those things are coming to pass. It is exactly as the word of God said. And friend of mine, we are those upon whom the ends of the age have come. And so as it is that condition, and we are seeing the prophetic day unfold, then we know what manner of people we should be, and we know how to live for God. But the cutting edge and the tip of the spear and the focal point of God's charge to his church was, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations. Tell them about this. He said, I want you to go and teach. Preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to tell everybody. And in the parables he taught, this is how it's going to be. It's going to be like a net cast into the sea. And you're going to catch all kinds of fish. And it is indiscriminate. It doesn't matter who they are, what their background is, what their name is, what their failures have been. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that the church has been called to cast the net. And the very last thing that he tells them before he ascends into heaven, he says, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. And he says, you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto my name. Or if you would, you're going to be the voice of God to the generation saying, come into the safe place. Come into the covenant. Come into the place of God. Somebody say amen. As it was in the days of Noah is the phrase that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 24. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Life was good. They had food to eat. They were making short-term and long-term plans, but they were making those plans without the counsel of God in their lives until the day that the Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I want you to understand, Jesus said, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. In the day of Noah, there was a plan and there was a boat and there was a place and there was a safe place and there was a covenant. And Noah, Peter says, was a preacher of righteousness. And Enoch in the generation before Noah, in a desperate and dark day, was a preacher of righteousness. And I want you to know there's a calling upon the church tonight. I don't know. You're spending energy making money, and you're spending energy making life, and you're spending energy chasing dreams. And all of those are things that God not only lets you do, but God will bless you in the doing of those things. But the purpose and the intent of God for his church is that his church is always saying come. Always saying come. Go and get that career. Go and pursue that job. Go and be blessed and be effective in everything you do, because you're going to walk in a door and stand in an office or work in a field or be in a place where there's not another apostolic witness, and God needs your witness. And you're not there just to be a good citizen. And you're not there just to be a good hand on the job. And you're not there just to be expert in your field or in your craft. You should be all of those things. But the primary reason you're there is to tell somebody, come. The Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. Let's clap our hands. Let's bless his name. It's easy to forget. It's easy to get too busy. It's easy to lose it all in the clutter. To watch them by the thousands pass by you and in and out of your circle of influence. But God has given you something that the world is dying for. And you hold the key and you hold the life and you hold the answer. And you have everything that they need. 500 years from now, nothing will matter that you've done or built or said or written or accomplished. The only thing that's going to stand with you in glory are those that you bring with you into the kingdom of God. That's the only durative thing, the only durative work, the only durative product. Somebody say amen. So in the days of Noah, there was a way prepared, and tonight there is a way. It is the gospel. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of that gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is in a nutshell in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's water baptism. That's immersion in water, invoking the name of Jesus. Not the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. Peter knew that name. He baptized them in Jesus' name. Paul knew that name. He baptized them in Jesus' name. The apostles all baptized in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There is a way prepared. There is an open door. But as in the days of Noah, there came a time when it was time for the judgment and time for the dispensational shift, that the door closed on the ark. And in the moment when everybody wanted to get on the ark, they could no longer get on the ark. And it's going to be like that in the last days. It's going to be, there'll be a time when he comes. They'll be searching and looking for an answer, but they'll be out of time and out of life and out of hope, and there is no other destiny for them. They are hanging by a thread today, and you have what they need. They are starving today, and you've got the only bread that'll bring them into eternity. They are dying of thirst, and you've got the water of life that you can bring them into. What's wrong with you? How can you stand by a dying man or woman and not give them a hand into the kingdom of God? The Spirit and bride say, come! Peter preached that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And it was an open door, and there was a place prepared. God made a promise to Abraham, and God told Abraham that in him would all the families of the earth be blessed. If you care to do a study on the Abrahamic promise and the way it winds its way down into the New Testament, if you wind up in Galatians chapter 3, you'll find where the Apostle Paul writes to the church and says, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise of Abraham makes its way all the way down into the church, and as it was that in Abraham, it was the will of God for all the world to be blessed. It is in the church of the living God today that the will of God is that everyone would be blessed. This is for everyone. Israel never did become the light of the world. Israel never did become the voice of God in her generations. There were only a few bright spots of revival. In those times of revival was when Israel was digging itself back up out of backsliding. They never did stand generation on generation and stand as the beacon of light and the priesthood that God had called them to be. Be it far from the church of the living God tonight that we have the light, but we hide it under a bushel. That we have the hope of the world, but we don't bother to tell anybody. I'm just preaching. preaching a little bit here tonight. I know it's Christmas time, but Christmas is about God coming to the earth to bring his hope to a world that was lost. Blessing to all the families of the earth. Come, it doesn't matter who your family is. Come, it doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in. Come, it doesn't matter what your last name is. Come, it doesn't matter if you're from a long, fine line of dysfunction. Come, and if you look at your world like God looks at your world, everybody that you see is a candidate for the gospel, is a candidate for the Holy Ghost. Nobody's out of God's reach. Nobody's out of God's vision. Nobody's out of God's heart. I'm just telling you, the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is how he says it in Isaiah. And he's talking to Israel through a Jewish prophet. He's speaking to the nation of the Jews. Isaiah 56. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him. And to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, or if you would, keep the word of God and taketh hold of my covenant. He said, a stranger can come and take hold of the covenant. It was like that in the days of Israel. Ruth becomes, she's a Midianite, she's a Moabite rather, and she comes and becomes a part of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Rahab is a harlot living in a house on the wall of Jericho, but she comes in and she becomes a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Outsiders can come in. Church of the Living God, the last thing God wanted you to do is become ingrown. Is become all about who you are and what you are, and you multiply yourselves in generations, but they're all homegrowns. Can I tell you, we need some new stuff in this house. We need some new people in this house. We need some folks that are from the outside in the house tonight. I love you babies, and I'm glad for that. And let's raise our own up in the truth. But my God, raise them up to be light. Raise them up to be salt. Let them know what it looks like to find a stranger coming into the covenant. The call of Isaiah here is those strangers from outside. If they come in and they obey my word and they embrace the kingdom of God and they embrace my covenant. Can we follow these scriptures? And take hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain. He said, I'll bring those strangers in. I'll bring them into my house. And I'll bring them to my holy mountain. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. If you feel like an outsider in the house of God, that's in your head. If you feel like an outsider in the kingdom of God, that's in your heart. But God has given you an invitation. Come, come. Your sacrifice is as good as anybody's. Come, come. You're as valuable as anybody else in the kingdom of God. There is nobody great here but Jesus. There's nobody great here but Jesus. Church is not about the preacher, and your ministry is not about you. Your ministry is about who can I bless, and who can I reach, and who can I touch. Even them will I bring to my house, my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. This is what Jesus told them. He said he came in that temple and beat the daylights out of them and turned their money changer tables over and castigated them and said, you've made this a den of thieves, but I said my house should be called a house of prayer. The house of God can become all kinds of things. Some places the house of God becomes a sports complex. Some places the house of God becomes a place for gaming. Some places the house of God becomes a place for courting. I'm just telling you, there's all kinds of good things that happen in the social, cultural aspect of the church. But he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Everybody can come. And the Spirit and the bride say, and the Spirit and the bride said, and all the young men said, and all the young ladies said, and all the old folks said, come. And that's got to be the heartbeat. And that's got to be the passion. And that's got to be the waking and the going to sleep. Who can I touch? Where can I go? How can I make this real in somebody's life? Because you won't take the money with you, and the house is going to stay here, and everything's going to turn to dust, and the earth and the heavens are going to be consumed with a fervent heat, and everything's going to be rolled up like a scroll. But those that you win to the kingdom of God, they're going to shine forever like the stars. He said, my house will be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. He said, I'm glad you're in the church, baby. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're, tomorrow, I'm glad you're in the house. You're living for God. You're in the safe place. You're in the house of the living God. I'm glad you're here. But he said, but I'm going to gather others. We're not the end all and be all. We're just part of the process. We're part of the process. We are the hand. We are the handful of seed that came from last year's harvest. Now God wants to take us, and he wants to cast us out into the field once more and see what will come up. And if you are on a shelf somewhere, in a container somewhere, buried in a pyramid somewhere, it's just going to sit there dormant. God's put light in you. Don't cover it up. God's put seed in you. Don't hide it away somewhere, but let it come to its fruition and see what God will make of you. I'll just tell you something tonight. You will never excel beyond the joy of what happens in your heart and in your Holy Ghost when you are instrumental in somebody coming to the kingdom of God. There is nothing in the kingdom like winning somebody to God, like bringing somebody back. You say, well, I find joy in other places. Well, I'll just tell you where heaven finds joy. He taught the parables of the three lost things. He taught the parable of the lost coin and the lost lamb and the lost son. And the refrain at the end of each of those parable segments was, and after the lamb was found, he called to his neighbors and said, come and rejoice with me, for that was lost is found. They were asking him, why do you spend so much time looking for lost things? And I've had people ask me, why do you keep teaching so many Bible studies? Why do you keep handing out those silly little cards? Why do you keep telling everybody about the things of God? Because I have found where the joy of the kingdom is. He said, because there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. When one, you want heaven to shout, they won't shout over your choir. They won't shout over your holiness. Heaven doesn't shout over you being here. But heaven will shout over one more that comes to the kingdom. Let's make heaven shout. Let's make heaven shout for joy. Let's make heaven shout. And the Spirit and the bride say, Isaiah 55, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come. Ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk. Without money and without price. The kingdom of God is the only place you can come with no money and buy something that is priceless. You can come empty and God will fill you up. You can come without and God will give you everything that you need. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I've read it in the book. He said he's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. And God gives it to you up front. That's what grace is about. He gives you the whole package up front. He doesn't put you on a trial basis, a probationary period for 20 years or 15 years and see how you respond. But God gives you everything up front. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Come to the waters. You don't have to have any money. Come and buy without money and without price. You spend your money for that is not bread. I don't know. I'll just tell you, you need to be financially involved in the kingdom of God. Because if you're not financially involved in the kingdom of God, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And where your heart is, that's where your treasure is also. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Why do you go to church? I like the music. And I like the people. And I like the atmosphere. And I like to feel my blessing. Well, those are good reasons. Come on back and enjoy the pressing, the blessings of God. But ultimately, you need to be an invested part of the kingdom of God. You need to have skin in the game. You need to be a part of this. We clap our hands for Amber tonight, but I'm just telling you, Amber needs support, and somebody needs to send her an offering every now and then. You ought to do it on a monthly basis. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Isaiah said, you can come, and even if you're empty and you don't bring anything at all, God will meet with you and God will work with you. I can't come. I don't have anything. I don't have anything to offer. I don't have anything to bring. You're just who God's looking for. Because ultimately, when you do have a lot, it becomes an impediment to your responding to God. Because you're full already. And for God to fill you, you have to empty yourself out. For God to change you, you have to be willing to turn loose. And if you have a lot, it's hard to turn loose. And if you've been doing it a long time, it's hard to turn loose. God's looking for people that are willing to say, you know what? I've done well in life and I've got the natural things, but I just really need more of God in my life. And to them we say, come. Come. You can come if you're empty. You can come if you're full. Just come and let God fill you up to the overflowing. And the bride says, Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Praise God. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Praise God. The church and its relationship with God, also Israel and her covenant with God, they are likened to a marriage feast. God teaches this in the Gospels, in Matthew and in Luke. And this is what he says. It's a wedding and there's invitation to the wedding. And God is getting married. Then he said to his servants, Matthew 22, beginning in verse 8, the wedding is ready. But they which were bidden or invited were not worthy. They wouldn't come. One guy said, I bought a herd of cows, and another a piece of land, and another I've married a wife. And they wouldn't come and respond to God. Buy the land. Marry the wife. I'm glad somebody said amen. But don't lose sight of the calling of God in your life. He said, so the first ones invited didn't come. So go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with gifts, with guests. Let's stop for just a second and let me tell you, if you get yourself all in a snit because you found some bad fish in the house of God, you need to understand you were forewarned by the scripture. He said, we invite everybody to come. We're not just looking for good people because there are none. There's no good people here. There's only one that's good. Everybody said amen. Amen. So everybody gets to come, both the good and the bad. And the house was furnished with guests. That was the mandate to the church because Israel had punted on their relationship and their invitation from God. But when they invited that first wave of guests, we go to Luke chapter 14, 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. He said, Master, we've invited, we've brought them, we've compelled them, but there is yet room in the house. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. You go out and you get a harvest and you bring them in. We're looking at 30 years. At January the 1st, we'll roll over the odometer or roll over 31 years. New Life will be 31 years old in January. And so from the storefront, we've come a little distance. And from the storefront, we've seen some revival. And we could tell God, mighty God, we've gone out and we've compelled them to come in. But there's still room. I could shoot a shotgun right in here tonight and I probably wouldn't hit anybody. The balconies are empty tonight. That's not a negative statement. That's an observation. There's still room. There's still room. There'll always be room. And so my priority has to be, I'm gonna find somebody else that'll come to the house of God. Let's give God a little praise and magnify him tonight. And the Spirit and the bride said, and the Spirit and the bride said, praise God. And so our invitation is with us continually. And our first response in every interaction is not how I can leverage this for gain or how this positions me socially or politically or how is this to my advantage in some way or another. My first response, everybody I'm looking to. I called a guy the other night. I called a guy. I was on my way somewhere, and I had a number, and I just started going through, and you got to hunt for these bureaucrats, but it's whoever is responsible for these lights out here on the interstate and at the exit ramp. They've been out for about a year. It's dark out there, and we need light out there. So I started looking for the bureaucrat that's in charge of that. But you know, at every interaction that I have, whether it's at Burger Doodle tonight, or if I go by Walmart for a jug of milk, or whatever I do, if I'm talking to somebody that's in charge of the lighting on the highway for the city of Birmingham, I've got a thought in my mind. I've got a thought that maybe I can catch this guy. Maybe I can catch this gal. Maybe I can tell them something or bring them into the house of God. My prayer is, God, help me to be light. Help me to be salt. Direct my path. Order my step. Help me to find the hungry and the thirsty, mighty God. I want to be a part of that that makes heaven rejoice. He said, come and rejoice with me, because that one that was lost is found. You know, when that elder brother heard the music in the house, he didn't know what it was. Jesus was, his audience was the Pharisees. He was having to explain why God spends time with tax collectors and sinners. And he's telling them the story of the lost things, and that heaven rejoices over lost things that come to God. But in the parable of the prodigal son, when the son comes to himself, gets up out of the pig pen, makes his way home, and the father restores him and warmly embraces him and brings him back into the house, they kill the fatted calf. Listen, church, you always have to have a fat calf. You always have to be ready to have a party. Praise God. Now, I'm just going to talk to you out of my heart a little bit tonight. We're adjusting to a new place. It's a new season. We're in a new joint here, and that's all good. We got room for stuff we never have had room for before. That's a wonderful thing. It's the blessing of God. But I want to tell you something. When we have at the end of a Sunday morning service, right up in this area, we had people praying with people to receive the Holy Ghost, and we had folks over in the corner chatting, and we had folks going out the back door, and it was time to go and have lunch, and it was just a normal people. I tell you what I'd like to see. I know some of you have hard calendars. Some of you have hard appointments. You just have to go. And you know how I am about that. I don't fuss about things in the middle of the house of God. I don't fuss with you about your shortcomings and those kinds of things. But I will tell you this. I would love to see a greater degree of participation in the altar. And when somebody's being prayed through the Holy Ghost, I'd like all hands on deck. Everybody excited about that. Well, do you know, I've been doing this a long time, and I've seen hundreds receive the Holy Ghost. Pray on, church. I'm going to Burger Doodle. I'm going wherever I got to go. But I'd like to see you at least focus your attention and help pray down the Holy Ghost and help cause it to cloud up in the house and help engage and be a part. I don't know where you're going and I don't know what's on your calendar, and I'm not giving you a hard time, but I'm telling you, unless it's a heady, important matter, you ought to be actively engaged in this altar service. And when somebody's seeking for God, you ought to be a part of that. Oh, let's clap our hands and lift our voice to God. And the Spirit and the bride said, God, give them the Holy Ghost. God, help us to get them into the waters of baptism. You know, that letter from Paul to Corinth, he said, now listen, I'm going to give you a list of things that can't come into the kingdom of God. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's King James English for homosexuals and male prostitutes. They can't come into the kingdom of God. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. God, unlike modern Christianity, has not lowered his standards. God has not lowered his standards. They are the same as they were in the day of the Apostle Paul. God expects fidelity. God expects faithfulness. God expects young men and young women to be pure when they get married. God doesn't expect for you to be involved in recreational sex. You can't be in the kingdom of God and live like the world. Somebody say amen. He says this is a brief list. It's not a comprehensive list. It's just a brief list of what cannot get into the kingdom of God. But then he helps us all and excites us and inspires us all by saying, and such were some of you. And everybody say, that's me. Yeah, we were like that. We were like those that couldn't get in. We were like those that couldn't cut the grade. We couldn't make our way into the kingdom of God. But he said, you were washed. You were sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You can't look at anybody and tell whether or not they would be able to live for God. You can't look at their lifestyle and weigh and measure their sin, because such were some of you. I want you to know, anybody can come. You can't keep being an adulterer and live for God, but let the adulterers come. You can't keep being a fornicator and live for God, but let the fornicators come. You can't continue to be a homosexual and live for God, but let the homosexuals come. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And the Spirit and the bride said, let the drunks come. Let the drug addicts come. Let the successful businessman come. Let the good Baptist with no vices at all come. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Praise God. Samuel, who's playing tonight? Somebody come play. Give them some hope. You both come play. Somebody bring a banjo. Do something. It's interesting. When Jesus told the woman of Samaria, she said everything that she had ever done. Jesus culturally should not have been in Samaria. But when you're looking for that one, you cross over the cultural thresholds. And He shouldn't have been sitting by himself with a woman at the well, because Pastor Sutton would have yanked his chain for that. I'd have come on him and said, now, Jesus, you know what happens when guys and gals get off by themselves and hang out talking. But he did that because he was reaching for her. And he said, yeah, I know you're not married, but you've had five husbands, and the one you're with now, you just shacked up with. But he was still telling her about living water. Even though he knew all about her, He was saying, there's nothing wrong with her that living water can't heal. There's nothing wrong with her. There's nothing wrong with anybody in this city that a baptism of the Holy Ghost and an experience in the kingdom of God can't heal. Let whosoever will come. And you know what she did? As soon as she met him and as soon as he impressed this truth on her, she ran back to the city and she told everybody, come and see a man that told me everything I ever did. It's just part of meeting Jesus. Now, I'll just tell you this. When you first came to him or were made alive in him, you had a fervor for talking with others about it. You were a chatterbox. You were a rattle trap on the job. They could not shut you down. All you wanted to talk about was Jesus all day long. You had your New Testament on your desk or in your lunchbox. You were reading it. You were witnessing, preaching to everybody. Not skillfully, not ably, sometimes not compassionately. You're going to die and go to hell. It says so in the Bible here. You know, but at least you were telling them. At least you were telling them. What happened to your witness? What happened to your zeal? I know how it is. There's a leveling effect to life. Business. Just being busy. All the things that we walk through. And the stress. And the pressure. It wears us down. And we just get yoked up to the natural, secular, physical responsibility. And we forget he came to seek and to save the lost. But we got to remember that. When he came to Gadara, did you baptize any of those Baptists today? You going back? When you going? He's going back next Sunday morning. Pray for him. He's going to baptize people in a Baptist church. That sounds highly paradoxical. Did you know that Baptists don't believe it takes baptism to be saved? You have to be baptized to be a Baptist, but you don't have to be baptized to be saved. The standard of the organization is higher than the standard of heaven. Craziness. But I digress. He went to Gadara and he found a complete raging demon-filled maniac. He identified himself as Legion. We call him the demoniac of Gadara. And after he had an exchange with the demonic force there and cast the devils out, the demoniac said, I want to go with you, Jesus. The city came out and they found him sitting clothed in his right mind. And they had grown so accustomed to living with their demons, they would rather have had the demons than this man Jesus that could cast out devils. It upset their whole day when they found that demoniac and he wasn't crying and screaming and cutting himself with stones anymore. And he said, Jesus, I want to come and be with you. I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no, no, no. You can't come go with me. I got something for you to do. And in that moment, we enlarged the conversation, not only to Legion, but to everybody in this house tonight. You can't come be with me right now. I know you want to go to heaven. I know you want all this to be done and you want to be in the presence of God, but you can't go right now. He said, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to tell everybody what he has done for you. I want you. It's just as simple as that. I don't know what my vision is. I don't know what the will of God is for me today. You know what the will of God is for you today? Do what you know. Today, it's not some mysterious, inscrutable thing. Just do what you know today. But the primary thing you need to do, go tell somebody. Tonight, where are you going tonight? I don't know. That infernal, never-ending conversation. Well, where do you want to go tonight? I don't know where you want to go. Where are we going to go? I don't know. Where are we going to eat? I don't know. Stop it. Somebody show some leadership. Tonight, we are going to Chili's. So you're going to Chili's, you already said. What if they disagree? If you go by yourself, If you think you're a leader, but nobody's following, you're only taking a walk. If you go to Chili's, you're going to meet a hostess, and I want you to give her that. And somebody's going to come wait on your table, and I want you to give them that. I was at that Chili's, and I forget who I was meeting with. If you know who I was meeting with and you remember that meeting, you can help me and refresh me. But I was meeting with somebody, and I looked over at a table, and I saw a little family, and they had a couple of little kids. And I thought, excuse me for a minute, I need to go invite these folks to church. And I went over and gave them a card. Is this deranged guy, Patrick, and his little wife, and his little girl, Mallory, and his little boy, Bailey. I don't think Riley was with us yet. No. And that was years ago, and we've been through a lot of stuff. We've been through a lot of stuff. But I see you worshiping in this altar, Mel, and I think it's just as simple as giving somebody a card. It's just as simple as inviting, say, hey, I just noticed you over here. Don't want to impose on you. I just want to tell you, check out the website. Come see us. Come see what God is doing. Because you never know. At Chili's tonight, you might catch a Mallory. And that is a catch worth having. You blew that. You blew that. That was the place where you stand on your feet and say, amen. But the moment's passed, you blew it. It may never come again. There's these lonely little cards out in the foyer. There's lonely little flyers out there. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride. That's the end time call of the church to the world. Not the plagues are coming and you're all going to fry. But God loves you. God can help you. God will bless you. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Hopefully you have a testimony. Right now we're moving into the week where we celebrate the birth. And we celebrate what happened at Bethlehem. And it's a notable and a worthy thing. Doesn't matter if he was born in December. It's a goodest time as any to say, for unto us a child is given. For unto us a son is born. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. People are excited about Christmas. So you come up to them and you say, hey, do you know who that baby was in the manger? Do you know what that was about? Do you know why those angels were so excited and they were singing, glory to God in the highest, peace, goodwill unto men? Do you know why those shepherds came down off the hillside to see? It's because God was putting on a light show and he was calling the world to come. He put something, they called it a star. It couldn't have been a regulation star because it was in the atmosphere and it literally stood over Bethlehem, over the place where the baby lay. There's no star that can do that. But it was a special advertisement to the Chaldeans all the way in Babylonia to come and see. When they got there, they said, we have come to see the one that is born King of the Jews. I'm telling you something tonight. There are people in this city that are just like Cornelius, not you. But Cornelius of the Italian band. He was an early Italian rocker. He somehow learned about the word of God and prayer, and he was giving alms to the poor people, And God saw it and God loved it. And God sent him an angel and said, go and get Peter. He's all the way in Joppa. Angels don't preach the gospel. God sent an angel, but it's only the church that teaches and preaches and witnesses of the gospel. You do things that angels can't do. You have a special dispensation of power that no angel, Michael, mighty in battle, Gabriel, the light of God, and all the generations of God's people, they can't do what you can do. They can't tell somebody about the gospel. You've got a power and an anointing. There's a Larry Booker in this city. Do you know Larry Booker used to go to bed every night with a big hippie Jesus Bible tucked to his chest? And he almost got the Holy Ghost one night. He was praying and asking God to forgive him and asking God to help him. And his jaw started twitching and he felt the presence of God. And he pulled the covers up over his long, lanky body and went to sleep and was scared out of his wits. But there's a Larry Booker in this city tonight. There's a John Wolfram in this city tonight, a Navy SEAL that on a street in Saigon had put a 9 under his chin and was about to blow his head off. He'd done 2 tours in Vietnam, and God talked to him and said, if you don't do that, I have something for you when you get home. And he found a little tiny advertisement in the local newspaper about a revival at an apostolic church. And while he was gone that afternoon, his roommate cleaned the room. And he was out in the alley in the dumpster digging through piles of garbage looking. And he found that little advertisement. And he went. And 6 of those Navy SEALs received the Holy Ghost and were baptized in Jesus' name. And 2 of them are missionaries tonight. And 1 of them is the pastor of that church where they all prayed through. There's a John Wolfram. There's a Tom Bracken in this city tonight. There's a Matt and Chrissy in this church, in this city tonight. Matt, I believe there's a duplicate of you, amazing as that may seem, in this city somewhere, hungry, not knowing, but eager and responsive to the things of God. Let's stand together tonight. Come and see. And the church said, come. Come and see a man. Come and see this thing that God has done. Come and see this wonderful gospel that God has poured out. Come, come and see what God has done. Somebody needs a witness. Somebody needs a testimony. Somebody needs the church tonight. They don't know you're here. They don't know the way. If they could find their way, they would serve God. I usually get jammed up when I tell this story, but I'm going to tell it. I didn't know I was get jammed up. I told it in front of Louisiana camp meeting with 8,000 people there. And we were just beginning to live for God. We were hungry, but we didn't know for what. And we were tasting everything the world had to offer. I was working one night. And my wife went to a party with Dawson's dad and mom. And they were doing all kinds of drugs. And they got a hold of some stuff that was stolen from the vet lab at LSU. And people were dying from it. They didn't know. They thought it was angel dust. And that night when she made her way home, she was losing her extremities. And something was happening to her that she'd never had happened before. When she was a kid, she'd go to these big open-air conferences like James Robinson, and she would go to the altar, and she would try to live for God, but without the Holy Ghost and the truth, you just can't do this. And it was so frustrating. But that night, she's at my brother's house. She's looking out the window. It's a cold winter's night. Stars are perfectly bright in the sky, and she prays a remarkable prayer. She says, God, I see everything that you've made and everything that you've done. It seems like you've made all these things that you could help me find you. And she said, if I could find you, I would serve you. It wasn't maybe 2 weeks. One of our friends came and said, hey, I got something we got to hear. This is prophecy, Bible prophecy. And the first time we listened to it, we were stoned. And the next time we listened to it, we were straight. And it was the most compelling thing I'd ever heard in my life, because it proved to me that the Bible was true. And then we began a journey of looking for somebody that truly represented the Word of God. Do you know, from the night she prayed that prayer, a year later, over 100 people had prayed through in that Baton Rouge church and had been baptized in Jesus' name. And most of them were between the ages of 20 and 25. And it revolutionized our lives, and it revolutionized that church. And I keep getting this tug in the Holy Ghost that God is going to do something very, very similar to that in this house. But somebody... And you know who taught us, Brother Cliff? They taught us in August. They had gotten the Holy Ghost in April. They were all of 5 months old in the Lord. And that place had people that had been living for God for 40 and 50 years. But it wasn't the veterans and the elders that taught us. It was the brand new ones that were still excited about the things of God. But I want you to know this. I was glad to hear it from whoever had it. But I'll tell you what the will of God is. The will of God is for you, as somebody who knows how to walk in the kingdom of God, for you to have the excitement and the fervor of a brand new convert and get up in the morning and say, who can I find to tell about the kingdom of God? Let's sing. Let's pray right now. I want everybody in this house to ask God to make you light and salt, to help you to find an open door, to know the ways of God, to be an effective witness, to be an effective testimony, to be effective in His harvest, to be a soul winner, to be a Bible study teacher. If you can't teach one, host one. You can do something. You can do something. You've got truth. You can do something. You've got the Word. You can do something. Reach over, take somebody's hand, or lay your hand on somebody. Just use me, Lord. Just use me. I'm available, Lord. Use me.
Help me to show.
God, I want to be used. I want to find somebody that's hungry. I want to bring somebody to the kingdom of God.